Money may not buy happiness, but can spending your money smartly make you happier? Elizabeth Dunn, a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia, explores these questions in a new book that she co-wrote with Michael Norton. It's called Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. It has five principles, and we're going to tell them about you in this next coming segment. Elizabeth Dunn, thanks for speaking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
So this inquiry began in part because you began to earn more money than you had before.
Exactly. I found myself at the age of 26 suddenly making a real adult income, and I wondered what to do with my newfound wealth. Being the nerdy PhD that I was, I turned to the research literature to see what it could tell me, and I found there wasn't actually that much. So I started to really dig into it myself and teamed up with Mike Norton at Harvard to conduct a number of experiments to try and figure out how we could use our money in happier ways.
So first of all, we're talking about people who have discretionary money. People who really don't have these choices?
You know, I think all of us make choices about how to use our money. We may feel like we don't have any money left at the end of the month, but that's because we've committed to, you know, big mortgages, car payments, and so forth. And we would argue it's time to maybe rethink some of those fundamental decisions.
Now, Elizabeth Dunn, how is it possible for you to generalize about how spending money will make people happier when we're all different people? Maybe what makes Elizabeth Dunn happier doesn't make Ross Reynolds happier.
We're certainly all different, and I think even my co-author and I are quite different. We've talked about how he would ideally like to spend his vacations napping while I would like to spend my vacations surfing. So we're really coming at this recognizing all of the individual differences that separate people. At the same time, what research shows is that across a very broad spectrum of people, men and women, young and old, the principles that we've identified seem to apply pretty consistently. Now, the kind of experience you might want to buy, for example, would differ a lot depending on who you are. But we would suggest, for example, that buying experiences rather than material things is going to make most people happier.
Okay, I want to circle back to that. But first of all, research shows, without going too deep into statistics, reassure us that this research is complete and thorough and representative.
Sure, in 30 seconds. So, in fact, we based our book on about 20 years of research using a wide variety of methods, including national survey studies, experiments in which people are randomly assigned to spend money in different kinds of ways, as well as longitudinal studies conducted all over the world. So there really is a solid body of research out there on happiness that allows us to draw some pretty interesting conclusions.
Elizabeth Dunn is my guest. She's a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia, co-author of the book Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. She's got five principles. We're going to run through them. Maybe you've got a question for her or a personal experience that pertains. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Now, you just said something a moment ago that I've heard a lot. The idea is don't buy things, buy experiences. And your research suggests that it's true that experiences make us happier. Could you explain that a little bit further?
Right. So a decade of research suggests that people consistently get more happiness from buying experiences like trips, concerts, and special meals than from buying material things, from couches to even houses.
But what about things that actually provide experiences? I mean, an iPhone provides you with a lot of different experiences. One of us said today, her shoes provide her with plenty of experiences. Is there a false demarcation between things and experiences?
Certainly, there's a kind of fuzzy boundary. So a trip to Paris is clearly an experience. A painting of Paris is clearly a material thing, but there's a whole lot of stuff that falls in that kind of hazy middle. And in fact, there's some research to suggest that people get more pleasure from a purchase when they think of it as an experience. So your colleague who thinks of her shoes as an experience is likely to get more pleasure from them than someone who thinks of that exact same pair of shoes more as a material thing.
You know, I would think even that painting of Paris, maybe that takes me back to Paris, to a place I've been. So it sort of is in a way an experience to have that, to look at it, to take me somewhere.
Right. And so I think, we can recategorize our purchases as to see them as being more experiential. That said, you know, there is a meaningful distinction there. And overall, the experiences seem to kind of win the day when it comes to happiness.
Okay. Principle number one of spending to make yourself happier is that you should think about experiences rather than things. Principle number two for smarter spending, turn your favorite things into treats. What's the idea behind that? Give us an example of what you mean.
All right. So it seems like, you know, life would be perfect if we could have our favorite things all the time. But having our favorite things less often can actually enhance our ability to enjoy them. So, for example, recently, I live in Vancouver, and recently I've gotten hooked on this crazy $7 kale and ginger smoothie. Right now, you know, it makes me like excited just to have it. This is a little embarrassing, but I think about it during the day and I'm like happy that I'm going to have my kale smoothie. But eventually, if I have it every day, it'll just become the smoothie that I suck down on a daily basis and don't pay any attention to. So when that happens, it's time for me to step back, stop shelling out $7 for a smoothie, and only have it once in a while so that I can really appreciate it once again. We argue that people should kind of re-virginize themselves to the pleasures that they've gotten used to.
Re-virginize. So deny yourself of something that you really like a lot because you'll like it a lot more next time you have it.
Exactly. And we're not advocating, you know, wholehearted self-denial, right? We're happiness researchers. But a little self-denial can go a long way in renewing our capacity for pleasure.
Okay, here's something else that I've also heard. The idea that a smarter spending tactic to be happier would be buying time. Would you explain that?
Yeah, so we suggest that before reaching for your wallet, you should ask yourself, how will this purchase affect the way I spend my time? Now, if a purchase will really help you use your time in happier ways, it's probably money well spent. So, for example, outsourcing your most dreaded tasks. I hire a cleaner because I'm the worst cleaner in the world. It can take me hours and hours and hours to clean our tiny little condo. And so for me, hiring somebody to do that for me is a really good use of money. Now, that said, it doesn't mean we should pay somebody to do, you know, everything for us, although that's actually possible with, you know, new services like TaskRabbit. We should just really think about getting rid of those tasks that bring down our day, tasks that we even dread when we just think about them.
Now, you know, your idea is buy time. We've had people call the show who've talked about making less money as a way, in effect, to buy back time, taking a lower paying job or working less to get back time. So it's not like they're buying something, but they're actually giving up some revenue. Would that work the same way based on the research you've looked at?
Absolutely. So, you know, if work is a source of stress for you and something that you don't, you know, profoundly enjoy, then cutting back on your work hours, accepting a little bit less money in order to have more time to do the things you love can be a really good trade-off in terms of happiness.
Okay, that's principle three, buy time. The fourth principle, pay now, consume later. So is that to say you prepay the kale and ginger smoothie, but don't pick it up till next Tuesday or something?
That would be a good idea, right? Exactly. So, for example, you know, let's go to coffee, one of my other favorite pleasures. If you prepay for all of your coffee by buying like a Starbucks card at the beginning of the week and then use that all week, all the coffees that you have for the rest of the week can kind of feel free. So there's research showing that people experience pain when they pay for something, especially something that's a little bit, you know, high priced, like say a latte. And that pain that they experience is actually remarkably similar to actual stub your toe physical pain. Now, we can lessen that pain by separating payment from consumption, by paying long before we consume something. It can actually make that thing feel free.
Your fifth principle here is actually reflected in something we got from Val in Tangletown, who posted this on our Facebook page. A few years ago, we were in a situation where we were able to make a very large directed donation to some of our favorite charities. It made us feel extremely happy for the whole year. She continues, this year is different. We make small donations, and it doesn't feel nearly as good. And your fifth principle for smarter spending to become happier is invest in others.
Exactly. So in some of the first research we conducted on this topic, we actually went up to people on the campus of the University of British Columbia and just handed random passersby either a $5 or a $20 bill, and we told them how to spend it. We told some people to spend the money by the end of the day on themselves. We told some people to spend the money on somebody else. And we found that people who spent the money on somebody else, whether by giving it to charity or buying a coffee for a friend, felt significantly happier at the end of the day compared to people who spent the same amount of money on themselves.
Have the people who try to get us to spend money incorporated any of these ideas into the way they market to us, Elizabeth? I mean, if there are principles which show that spending money in these ways make us happier, it sounds like it could be a powerful advertising pitch.
I think so. I mean, I think particularly in the realm of experiential purchases, for example, one company called Tough Mudder provides people with the opportunity to crawl through mud, complete these crazy obstacle courses and this really hardcore run. And people actually pay money to do this, even though it seems like something that no mentally healthy person would pay to do. It's actually become an extremely successful business, I think in part by recognizing the principles that underlie the happiness benefits associated with experiences. So Tough Mudder does a great job of really bringing people together in a very meaningful, powerful way. And I think we know from research that this sense of social connection is a critical component of experiences. By maximizing that sense of social connection, Tough Mudder has been able to generate a very successful business using this kind of experiential buying.
Elizabeth Dunn is my guest. She's the co-author of Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. So principle number five, invest in others, led our producer David Hyde, who's listening closely, to ask you this. Do people feel happier spending on other people because they were built that way, or does the spending cause the happiness? Which direction is the cause and effect, or is it just a correlation?
There is kind of a bi-directional relationship, I would say. So happier people are more inclined to give, but in turn, giving does make people happier. So when we just randomly assign people, basically by the flip of a coin, to use their money to benefit others, they do end up getting happier, even though they wouldn't have necessarily woken up that morning and just felt like, oh, I want to give.
Got a couple more minutes. If you've got a question for Elizabeth Dunn about Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending, 206-543-5869. Principle number one, buy experiences. Principle number two is turn favorite things into treats. Principle number three, buy time. Principle number four, pay now, consume later. Principle number five, invest in others. Elizabeth, how cross-cultural is the research into these ways of spending to make us happier? Does what apply to Western developed nations also apply to non-Western, non-developed nations with different cultures?
I mean, there are important cultural differences for sure. But in some of my own research, I've actually traveled around the world to try to replicate our experiments in far-flung places. So, for example, after conducting our initial studies here in Vancouver, I worked with my husband, who was doing volunteer work in Uganda, to find collaborators there. And remarkably, what we see is very similar effects in both North America and Africa, whereby even when people are struggling to meet their own basic needs, they actually get more happiness from spending money on others rather than on themselves.
How do you know people are honest when they answer the question that spending this way makes them happier? You know, someone might think to them at some level of their brain be thinking, I'll say I'm happy when I give money to charity because this will reflect well on me. How do you know people are being straight with you?
Well, that is a great question. And for that, I mean, people will definitely answer questions that, you know, and provide you with the answers that they think you want to hear. So for that reason, we never ask them, you know, does giving to others make you happy? Instead, for example, we just walk up to them, give them some money, tell them how to spend it. Then we call them back at the end of the day and just ask them a whole bunch of questions, including, hey, how happy are you right now? How's today been? That kind of thing. And what we find is that people are happier even when they have no idea that we're comparing them, for example, to others who spent the same amount of money on themselves.
Elizabeth, what is not known about spending to make ourselves happier? What are the big questions you are not able to answer yet?
Oh, gosh, there's so many of them. I think we're really only beginning to scratch the surface. We, taking the whole literature together, we were able to identify five core principles that we see as really actionable ways that people can improve their happiness by using money differently. But I think there's a host of others out there just waiting to be discovered by scientists.
So how long to your next kale and ginger smoothie, Elizabeth?
You know, I actually have to admit I have one waiting for me in the car.
Happiness is on the way. Elizabeth Dunn, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Dunn, psychology professor at the University of British Columbia, where she joins us today. She is the co-author of the new book called Happy Money, The Science of Smarter Spending. And if you missed any of this or you'd like to tell someone else about it, they can find it at kuow.org.